This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Things aren't going so well for European banking stocks right now. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. When two US banks collapsed, almost immediately the fallout rippled across global markets. Jitters in Europe eased somewhat yesterday, but came back with a bump today. While we were on air, banking shares were down about 2% and Credit Suisse slumped by 8%. That bank has its own challenges, and the share sell-off was sparked by a major Saudi investor saying they could not commit any more money. Nonetheless, European politicians have been speaking out about the resilience of the industry, mainly because it hasn't relaxed safeguards on mid-sized lenders like the US has. Antonio Fatas is the economic professor at the French Business School, INSED. He told me about these regulatory differences. We spoke before Credit Suisse's shares collapsed.
When it comes to regulation and supervision, there are two issues. One is the criteria that you impose in banks, so whether you ask them to hold more or less capital, more or less liquidity. And I think Europe in particular, when it comes to medium-sized small banks, have criteria which are stricter than the US. But then it comes the second thing, which is as important, which is how often you look into the books, how often you ask the banks to do a stress test. How do you know that their balance sheet is safe? Again, in Europe, we do this more often. In the US, they do this often, but only for large banks. That was the regulatory change in 2018 that sort of freed some of these medium-sized banks from these regular stress tests. They used to be annual, and then they were changed to often, but not annual.
Why do we have those differences? Why don't we just have banks that are regulated in the same way?
We have sort of international standards for regulations, but how these agreements get implemented at the national level is different. Not every country will implement them at the same time, and not every country will implement them in the same way to all banks. It's a little bit about politics. In the case of the US, the relaxation of 2018 was during the Trump administration. I think it was under the assumption that regulation was too much, that it was imposing too many constraints on banks. And given what just happened, it could be that now you tighten again the screws of regulation in the US. So you can see it's about different political environments and different ways of thinking about to what extent we need more or less regulation.
Was there ever any pressure on Europe to actually make it a little bit more flexible for banks?
There's always that pressure. I mean, banks would always say, our life is hard, our regulatory constraints are too much, we spend a significant amount of our revenue dealing with regulatory issues. I think there's always that pressure. I think in Europe, not just in the banking system, I think we have resisted that pressure better than in the US.
Antonio Fatas, Professor of Economics at INSED Business School, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's do some more numbers. Shares in Bloomsbury Publishing, famous for the Harry Potter books, rose 8% after it said it expected its full-year sales to come in above previous expectations, thanks to growing demand for fantasy books and digital academic resources. And Inditex, the owner of Zara, reported sales up 17% year-on-year to $35 billion for the 12 months, beating analysts' expectations. Now, it's budget day here in the UK, and if you remember the last time the UK made a budget announcement, markets weren't really a fan. The pound fell to record lows, there was a sharp rise in government borrowing, and that increase fed through to rising mortgage rates here. We've got the BBC's Sean Farrington to chew over what markets can expect. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Leanna.
Budget day here in the UK today, Sean. The last budget, even though it was a mini budget, it had a big impact. Will this one have a more cautious approach so as not to spook global markets?
Yes, I think definitely what the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, will be looking for in the budget today is a bit more stability. No Chancellor wants to be seeing the kind of reaction that the markets had after Kwasi Kwarteng and his budget at the end of last year. So that's definitely been one of the things the government will want to achieve. We will see afterwards what markets do, what those bond markets around the world make of the prospects for the UK economy.
We don't actually have the budget yet. It is to come out at noon our time. But what is expected to be announced?
We know that already that the energy bill cap that the government has put in place will continue at that level. We've heard about childcare support, so more help for 1 and 2 year olds to be put into childcare settings. A big theme around the budget has been a bit of back to work, because we've got more than 1 million vacancies still, we've heard this week with official figures, in the UK, way more than we had before the pandemic. And so the government will be looking to try and get over 50s back into the workplace. Many people decided to retire. So are there financial incentives, training incentives that may well be put in place? And also people who are long-term sick, is there a way to encourage them back into the workplace sooner when they feel ready to do so?
The BBC's Sean Farrington, thank you for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you very much.
Lebanon has been mired in an economic crisis for years, and now banks have closed their doors for an open-ended strike over what they describe as arbitrary and haphazard judicial orders. Banks say this has drained their already dwindling foreign reserves. But the strike means customers are struggling to access their money, although ATMs are still operating. These people in Beirut are frustrated.
There's no circulation of money. People aren't able to pay anything from university fees to any payments. As soon as there's an announcement of the closure of the banks, you have the black market rate automatically going up, skyrocketing, and dollars reached 100 thou today.
Most of the people are not getting paid throughout the banks, so they are relying more on cash.
It puts more stress on the population. You see it in the streets, people in the cash points, in the ATM. So it provokes more stress. We are already very stressed, and it puts more.
It hurts the economy, but also at the same time, we cannot deny that the economy, the industry, everything in Lebanon is collapsed.
Because the banks are closed, the dollar now is increasing and everything is so expensive. It's really bad for us people here in Lebanon. It's causing a lot of financial problems for us. So we're already suffering enough.
That report from Lebanon. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.